24th chapter of Acts, once again. Acts 24. Verse number 5. Look at verse number 5. Maybe we can find something in there that can kind of help us a little bit. We've read this a couple times in a group of verses, 1 through 9. Looked at it a couple of times. Now we're just going to take this one verse here. For we have found this man. We found this man. You know who he's talking about here. What you talking about? We've been through this enough. Now you got it memorized probably. We found old Paul a pestilence. A pestilence. A pest. Just a pest. And a mover of sedition among all Jews throughout the world. And a ringleader. A ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. A ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. A sect of the Nazarenes. Did you know that's what you're called? You're not part of, quote, the Christian movement. You're a sect. You're a cult. Did you know that what we believe is commonly called cultish? It is. What we believe. And what do we believe? We believe the scriptures, don't we? We believe the systematic teaching of the Bible. We've got it systematically laid out, and we are able to put it together by topics as we hold on to what we believe. But you know, there's a world of folks out there that call you a cult. You're a cult. I never will forget, years ago, someone responded to an article that I wrote in the, I think it was on homosexuality. I've always got a pretty good response on that issue if I ever write against it and expose it from the scripture. But somebody responded in the paper. They let them have their say. They used to do that every now and then. Let them have their say. And they wrote a letter to the editor. And boy, they lowered the boom on me. And they called me a hate monger. And matter of fact, they compared me with David Koresh. You remember David Koresh? Huh? Y'all remember him, don't you? He was that leader of that cult in Waco, Texas, that Clinton and Janet Reno wiped out. They got rid of that pest, that cult. They had a way of doing that. They just cleaned them out, burned them out, and got away with it. Got away with it. What about that? They got away with it. Well, if they had their way about it today, they'd get rid of what we believe. There's not many of us anymore. We're getting fewer and fewer and fewer. But we're in the way. And what we believe is an offense. It's an offense. Well, you know, we're in good company. That's exactly what they label our Lord Jesus Christ and those that followed him. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to talk about the Nazarene. That's Jesus. He was a Nazarene, not a Nazarite. Sometimes folks get that sort of confused, don't they? But he was a Nazarene. And I'm going to talk about the Nazarene and the sect of the Nazarenes. That's what they're accusing Paul of here. He's a ringleader of that sect, or the sect of the Nazarenes. And I'd say we found him to be this ringleader. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 23. Don't turn there. Let me quote this for you. It says it came, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Now, he was born in Bethlehem. And when Herod was trying to kill him, was trying to annihilate him, annihilated all those babies just trying to get him, missed him because God woke old Joseph up in the night, gave him a vision, said, get down to Egypt, which was prophesied in the Old Testament. God called his son out of Egypt. So he went down into Egypt and stayed there for some years. And when the coast was clear, God told him, you can go back to the land. So he bypassed Bethlehem and Jerusalem and went to his hometown. I'm talking about Joseph then. Took his family with him. And so that's what this text is talking about. He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. A Nazarene. Now our Savior, though born I said in Bethlehem, was commonly known as Jesus the Nazarene. He was commonly known as Jesus the Nazarene. And because Nazareth was the place where he was brought up. But you know, he wasn't very well liked there after he became a grown man, especially when he started preaching. He preached his first message there, wasn't he? Wasn't his first message there in Nazareth? And brought a few scorching texts out of the Old Testament, reminding the people of how God sovereignly blessed his old prophet and blessed an old widow of Zarephath, and bypassed all of those starving widows in Israel. And then he went on down and told how he healed old Naaman, the Syrian. He healed him of his leprosy and let him die in Israel of leprosy. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. God sovereignly did that, and they didn't like that. And that's what we tell folks, you know. God does what he pleases, with who he pleases, when he pleases, and how he pleases. And ain't no use fussing about it, is it? There's not a bit of use in the world of fussing about it. Because he's God. He's God, and he's going to do what he pleases in. The best thing for us to do is just about say, thank you, Lord. Even so it seemed good unto thee. That's what Jesus said, what Matthew chapter 11. Yeah. So this place, a very much despised place because of the people there. The people were considered hicks. Did you know that? They were. They were considered what we call hicks today. They were considered clodhoppers. It was kind of a rural area, kind of off itself, and a whole lot of notoriety came out of there whatsoever as far as anybody worth anything. Was it Nathaniel? Huh? Was it Nathaniel Brady when his brother came to him and said, we found the Messiah? Where'd he come from? He came from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Blessed be God. Yes, something good came out of Nazareth. The best thing that ever came to this world came out of Nazareth. The blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. Yeah, sure did. So Nazareth was made the butt of ridicule. The name itself signifies sprouts. Sprouts. They said it was a very fruitful area as far as trees were concerned. A lot of trees there around Nazareth. In Nazareth. But the Jews, they threw it, this idea of Nazareth and it being a meaning, the word meaning sprouts. The Jews were real notorious about this and pretty good at it. They just threw it out as a jest at the people who came from that town. They're nothing but sprouts. Not worth much, just sprouts. Just sprouts. They're not like us, we people down here in Jerusalem. No, we're the cream of the top. We're the top dogs. They're nothing to them up there. Nothing to them. Well, that's who we're identified with. Folks, there's nothing to them. Nothing to them at all. Matthew refers to Isaiah 11:1, where he said it. Where it said there that a rod shall come out of the stem of Jesse. A rod shall come out of the stem of Jesse. And here's the Hebrew word, a netzar. A netzar. N-E-T-Z-A-R, which means Nazareth, a Nazarene, a Nazareth, a Netzar, a Netzar, a Nazarene, a branch shall grow out of his roots. So there's where he came from. There he is. And as Nazarene was a term of contempt in the olden times, so it has continued to be so. The apostate Roman emperor, about 130 A.D., somewhere along in there, he was ruling. Julian, Emperor Julian. Later on, from some of the early ones that we're familiar with, always called our Lord the Galilean. He called him the Galilean. He referred to him as the Galilean. But when he died, he cried. Old Julian cried out. They said this on his deathbed, Jason. They said, Emperor Julian cried out, O Galilean, thou hast vanquished me. He fought him all of his entire emperor life. Despised him, hated him. And on his deathbed, he gave him credit for vanquishing him, doing away with him. That's hatred, isn't it? Carried it to his deathbed. This is still the name given to our Lord by the Jews. It is today. And Christians are called among the Mohammedans, the Islam religion, they're called Nazarenes. We're called Nazarenes by the Muslims. Our Lord also was never ashamed. This is something else to think about. He was never ashamed of that name. He wasn't. He somewhat relished it. He was proud of it. He called himself Jesus of Nazareth. I'm Jesus of Nazareth. After he had risen from the dead. And so we come to wonder, why in the world would he choose, why would God choose Nazareth to be choose Nazareth and be a carpenter's son, and work in a carpenter shop, and to be rejected by his fellow townsmen? Why was all this? Was there ever such condescension as this? I mean, that's about as low as you can get in Palestine. You couldn't have went no lower than what our Lord condescended to, what he bowed to. Well, Scripture said, verily he did this. He emptied himself, made himself of no reputation. Remember reading that in the second chapter of Philippians? Nothing was left of him or left him of honor or respect. He disavowed all, laid it all down. Become the humblest of men, and then went to the cross and died the death of a felon. Yeah. That he might redeem us from our sins. That's him. That's our blessed Redeemer. Let's try to learn a couple of things here. Just a couple of things. First of all, our Master, our blessed Master, the Nazarene. I'm talking about the Nazarene. He was, hey, and is, presently, despised. He's despised. He's just as much despised today as he was back then. That's right. And, I mean, when folks are brought to face the real concept of the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of the cross, the Jesus that you and I worship, and the Jesus that you and I follow, when they come face to face with the true concept of him, they despise him just as much today as they did back then. He's not gained any love whatsoever from this God-hating world. That's so, Brent. That is so. We love him. A few of us, we love him. We adore him. There's no one no more precious to us than our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. But not so with this world. Not so. Let them have their own concept. Let them have their own imagination of whom they think Jesus. Oh, yes, the babe in the manger. Yeah, the little babe in the manger. They love that. They love that. Yeah. Yeah, celebrate him on a certain day of the year. One day, yeah. Celebrate him on one day of the year. Yeah, they love that. Have their cantatas, their plays, their dramas, all that stuff, you know. Yes, they love that. But you present him as he is in the Scripture and what he accomplished and why it must be accomplished and who he accomplished that for. You do that, and I'll guarantee you, you'll raise the hackles on those folks that you try to convince that this is the Jesus that we're talking about here. This is the one that we love. This is the one that you must bow to if you're going to be saved. Yeah. Our Master, the Nazarene, he was and is presently despised. He was despised. Why? Why? Well, because, first of all, in his person, his parentage, his state, his habits, and so forth, all these things. He was despised. There was nothing grand when our Lord walked on this earth about him. He was a man of sorrows. He says that. A man of sorrows and despised and hated by the people. He was no popularity hunter. He never sought popularity. Matter of fact, he shunned popularity. When they, on one occasion, would have taken him and made him a king, what did he do? He disappeared. Moved out of their sight. Moved out away from their hands. He would not allow that. That was not what he came for. Not popularity. No, sir. He was no flatterer of the great or a man of strife. He was the simple, Jesus of Nazareth, who came to accomplish one mission and one alone, and that was the redemption, the atonement of his people. Secondly, he was despised because his followers and chosen friends were common people. He identified with the common people. The hierarchy, they could not in any way whatsoever condone this fellow because they knew that he would not associate with them. So they despised him. They despised him. But the common, oh yeah. He made his disciples what? From fishermen? From farmers? Tax collectors? Also despised people. Just common people. Unlearned. They were charged with being unlearned, and this was ridicule. Criticism. They were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, what they said about them on the day of Pentecost? Who are these unlearned and ignorant men? Who do they think they are? Standing up and making proclamation as though they've been to some school with us. We don't know them. We never saw them in our seminary. Oh. But I tell you one thing. Those that did pay attention to him would say on one occasion that these have been with Jesus. They knew that, didn't they? These have been with Jesus. I hope they say that about me, don't you? That he's been with Jesus. He was not a preacher. And that attracted the elite of society. No survey. Oh, no. Not at all. You see, the highly cultured minds went to hear Rabbi Simeon. You remember Rabbi Simeon? The notorious leper? He was brilliant, fella, wasn't he? He's smart. You wonder why he invited Jesus to dinner that night, that evening. Rich, you ever get into that? Why in the world did Oh, Simeon, you think you're just going to try to pick him a little bit? He didn't have any respect for him. That was proven there. None whatsoever. He disdained him. When the woman off the street came in and wept over him, and she's doing that out of joy, rejoicing, and out of worship and devotion and honor, just her head flowing with tears enough to wash his feet, and took her long, beautiful hair and dried his feet, took that alabaster box of special, expensive ointment and anointed him. Anointed those feet. Yeah. No Simon. Remember old Simon? Old Simon looked. He said in his heart. In his heart he said this. If he knew what manner of woman this is, he's no prophet. If he were, he'd know what she is. Jesus knew exactly what was going on in his heart. I wonder if he ever stopped and thought about that. When he exposed him. When he told him what he was thinking. It's just amazing how God keeps people blind, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. But he was a great Pharisee. Great Pharisee. Who expounded the points of no earthly importance. The Pharisees didn't have a message. They did. Had no respect from the people, none whatsoever. Matter of fact, the folks disdained the Pharisees. And they praised Jesus. When he spoke, they said this. He don't speak like the scribes and Pharisees. This fellow speaks with authority. They don't have no authority. He's got a powerful message. Yeah, the Nazarene. The Nazarene. But Jesus was one of whom it is written, the common people heard gladly. They heard him gladly. And so, wise ones ran him down as the Nazarene. Common people heard him gladly, and the wise ran him down. Sound like anything you know of today? Huh? And then his doctrine was not palatable. It didn't taste well. It just didn't taste good to the palate, the mouth. He told a learned rabbi, you remember Nicodemus, he told him. He said, except a man be born again. Yeah. He didn't know what in the world he was talking about, did he? Nicodemus didn't know what in the world he was, except a man be born again. He's trying to figure this thing out, and he can't do it to save his life. Are you talking about a man going back into his mother's womb and being born a second time? How stupid. Anybody with any sense knows he couldn't be talking about that. It'd be a madman saying something that would have any import to that. No. He went on and explained it to him a little bit, except you be born from above. Born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's what I'm talking about. But I've told you, why'd I tell you and illustrate with earthly things? Because you don't understand heavenly things. I can't talk to you spiritual. And that was a learned Pharisee, Nicodemus. I hope something took hold of his heart. It's always been a question about Nicodemus. He seemed somewhat to be a secret disciple. I don't know if there's anything to that or not. You? How can you be a secret disciple of the Lord of glory? I can do that. But maybe the Lord got a hold of his heart. But they could not bear him. His preaching just, and teaching just put a level on people. It leveled them all. It made them all one and the same, having need of one and the same. All together. It's one and the same. You know, he went further. And he dared to tell the scribes and Pharisees that all their outside religion was as he, unless the inner part of a soul was cleansed, was absolutely futile. He told them that. You can do whatever you want to with a platter. You can make it as clean as you can. You can whitewash these graves out here and make them just as clean and pretty on the outside as you can. But until you do something with the inside, the filth on the inside, the death on the inside, the rotten bones that are on the inside, until you do something to the inside, you're just like those outside clean platters and graves. Don't amount to nothing. And we're still telling people that. That's our message today. We try to tell folks, we don't want this reform. We don't want this religious makeover. We don't want you to do that. We want you to make dead sure, absolutely, just clear cut sure, that the inside has been fixed up. That there's a new creature. A new creature made like Christ in the heart. That's what we want. That's what we insist on, isn't it? It sure is. And Christ is as much despised, I say, today as ever. He sure is. You know, frequently you'll see this. You'll see it in the modern media. You will. You'll see it constantly right now. They're making flicks and this, that, and the other, trying to portray Christ. All you got to do is catch a preview of those things. You don't have to go watch it. You can pretty well see what their whole objective is in this thing. There's no bowing to the Lord of glory in these things. None whatsoever. They have no love for Christ. They have no respect for Christ whatsoever. Deep down in their heart, they despise and hate your Maker and your Master. I know back when that movie, that old Gibson, that was his Waterloo, wasn't it? He went against Hollywood. Didn't amount to anything. He shouldn't have done that. He lost money for nothing. Because the movie wasn't worth anything. Didn't mean anything. Didn't mean a thing. I'm talking about the so-called passion of Christ. Didn't mean anything. Another distortion, another perversion. I remember when that thing, folks just going ape over it, you know. Hog wild. I know. Quote, Christian friends of mine, you know, have you seen the passion? And I have to be honest, no, I haven't seen the passion. You ought to go see it. No, I don't intend to see it. I can tell you what it's about before you go there. I guarantee you, it doesn't portray the Christ that I preach. It doesn't. It didn't. Not at all. So we just have to bow to it, settle down to it, just relent, say, well, if he's despised by the world, then I must be despised by the same world. I must just bow to what he said. If the world hated me, it's going to hate you. If the world persecuted me, know that it hated and persecuted me before it did you. That's talking to the followers of our Lord. So that brings me to my second little lesson here, and I'll run over it right quick. Christ's followers, listen to me, they must expect to bear at least a measure of the indignities poured upon their leader. You got to do that. He said so. If you're going to reign with me, you got to suffer with me. Didn't he say that? Yeah. If you follow Christ fully, you will be sure to be called by some ill name. I'm glad I don't know what all they call me. aren't you? That's a blessing. God keeps these things hid from us. He keeps, you know, certain things that is going on out there that He just keeps us blind to it. Good. I don't want to know what folks think about me. I really don't. Don't want to know what they say about me. If they're saying it in regards to the truth that I preach, to the stand that I take, it can't be real good. It can't. If it was, they'd come flocking to hear me preach. If they thought I was doing a good job, wouldn't they? If they thought I was doing a good job as a preacher and preaching a message that was just above the norm, the truth, it'd be more than you here tonight. So I guess it's just good, Lord, just keep it somewhat sheltered from us. Or us sheltered from it. But I know this, if you follow Christ fully, you'll be called by some of your name. Or some might call you mean-spirited. Mean-spirited. Yeah. They'll say something. They might say how rigid you are. Oh, he's a rigid fella. I never will forget the old story about old John Rogers, the old Puritan in England back in the 1600s. There were several of those Rogers that preached the gospel. John was notorious. He was tough. He was tough. Very, very strong, very to the point. I mean, just right to the point. Had a man there in England, they said in London, that came over. He would come over to hear John. He wasn't a member of the church there, John pastored. But he'd come over and he'd listen to Pastor Rogers. And after a sermon one night, it was a very pointed sermon, very pointed sermon, left nothing undisclosed, said the old Britishman, the old Englishman, came up to Pastor Rogers, said, Hey, Brother Rogers. He said, you're far, far yonder, too precise. Too precise. Brother Rogers responded, said, I know I'm very precise, but I serve a precise God. You can't be too precise. You think a preacher's precise when he stays directly on the point, the truth. Refuses to budge. He stays on the truth. He's on the truth. You think he's too precise? All you got to do is read the Bible. Who's more precise, him or God? God don't miss a thing. He doesn't skip one thing, does he? No siree. God is right to the point on everything in this book right here. He said this. The Lord said this about His people. He said this about you. Over in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 9, I believe it is. He said this. He said, mine inheritance is unto me as a speckled bird. I looked at that, I thought, as a speckled bird. And then he said this. He said, the birds around her, round about her, are against her. Are against her. And that word there, speckled bird, that simply means a bird of various colors. Used to be a bird came through up here every spring. I'd see him every spring, early spring. He just came through. He was going back to wherever his habitat was. It's a migrator. And I forget exactly what. I looked it up one time and didn't. I called her out and he'd eat out of that feeder out there. That's the prettiest bird I've ever seen in my life. He's beautiful. And he was all kinds of colors. Red and white and black. A little gray mixed in. speckled bird. Beautiful bird. Beautiful bird. A bird of many colors. It reminds you of Joseph's coat that his father Jacob made him. What was it? A coat of many colors. Many colors. God said, that's mine inheritance. That's my church. That's my people. That's my bride. A bird of many colors. And unusual. She's very unusual. That's his church. She's unusual. She's not of the norm. A lot of beautiful birds out there, but every now and then one catches your attention, doesn't it? If you watch it. Unusual. Very unusual. And the word signifies to say, to be dipped. Now this is what I did a little investigation, research on. The word itself, speckle, signifies to be dipped or stained as with blood. That's his church. That's his church. We're reading the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain by the word of God, or for the word of God, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? They're still crying this, Jason. These are our brethren that's already gone into glory. Many of them went there as martyrs, slain by the religious world, the Roman system, for the most part. Yeah. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not and avenge, or judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Speckle speaks of one that's been dipped as one dipped in blood. Yeah. And then they'll talk about how old-fashioned we are. Old-fashioned. You know, I run up on this over the years. Folks say, well, I love the old-fashioned religion. The old-fashioned way. I like to sing the old-fashioned song. Love the old-fashioned gospel. But I've sort of pushed the point time or two, pressed it a little bit, see what they're talking about. And some of them want to go back to Grandpa and Grandma, to their days. That's all right. But let's go on back a little further. Let's go back to the days of our Lord and His apostles. That's pretty old-fashioned, isn't it? And let's go with what they said and what they practiced. You won't go that far back? You won't be that old-fashioned? Huh? That's an old-fashioned movement. Yeah. Well, I don't know. No, let's say you believe those old puritanic doctrines. Those old doctrines of the reformers. And yeah, those Anabaptist doctrines. You believe those things. Do you know that the world has made a great progress? I had a lady one time, I'm almost verbatim, said this about me. Don't he know that we live in a new world, a different world? When's he going to leave those things behind? Yeah. Don't he know that we're in the 19th century? Well, we're in the 21st now, aren't we? Yeah. No, yeah, I know those things. Been said of me. Won't he ever move with the times? Yeah. How old-fashioned he seems to be. How credulous, they might say. How credulous, they may say. You simple-minded people. That's what you are. You are simple-minded people. Simpletons. Yeah. Well, yeah, you have a capacity for believing. But the things you believe are outdated. Outdated. Too simple. Too far sensible to feel sure about anything. That's your problem. Yeah. Well, you're sure, aren't you? You're sure some very vital things, aren't you? You're sure that nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from your sin. You're sure of that, aren't you? That's too simple for some people. There'd be more to it than that. You don't believe that, do you? Huh? Yeah. And as to this Spirit of God that you trust in, that's just sheer enthusiasm. Be rational. Be rational. Come on, move up with us. Move up to the upper side. Leave that old stuff behind. You want to remain a part and a member and identified with the sect of the Nazarenes and identified with the Nazarene himself? Is that what you want? Well, you're not going to gain a whole lot of company there. That's for sure. That is for sure. Okay. All right. I'll pray now.